So today I would like to share with you some thoughts on the topic of the tree of life. The tree of life would come to mind in the first instance in the Garden of Eden in Genesis, and also in the picture of the revelation of John in the book of Revelation. And we will look into these passages and see what lessons they provide. We would like to also view some scriptures that supply important principles of why the tree is so meaningful and how it has come to represent character, kings, nations, and ultimately life. Our Lord Jesus spoke of the life-giving tree and the lesson of not bearing fruit. He brought attention to the tree and its life-bearing attributes. We will find these places that all confirm the promises of God, as the Bible contains truths that we treasure so much, and they are understood only if we are devoted and sincere students, realizing that we must be led by the Holy Spirit to have any understanding. So let's start by turning to the book of Genesis and chapter 1 and 9 to 13, which is in the beginning of the creative periods. And then God said, "Let the waters below the heavens be gathered into one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering of the waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. And then God said, "Let the earth sprout vegetation, and plants yielding seed, and fruit trees on the earth bearing fruit after their kind, with seed in them." And it was so. And the earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed after their kind, and trees bearing fruit with seed in them after their kind. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the third day. The great creative hand of God and the Logos were forming the home for the crowning terrestrial creation of man. In Genesis 1:26, then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." And in verse 29 it reads, "Then God said, Behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the surface of all the earth, and every tree that has fruit yielding seed, and it shall be food for you." The Lord God had not sent rain upon the earth at this time, but a mist, and it used to rise from the earth and water the whole surface of the ground. In Genesis 2:5-6 we see that. I would like to read Genesis chapter 2 and 7-9, which gives us the first instance here of the tree of life. "And then the Lord God formed man of the dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. And the Lord God planted a garden toward the east in Eden, and there he placed the man whom he formed. And out of the ground the Lord God caused to grow every tree that is pleasing to the sight and good for food, the tree of life, also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil." And so we see this beautiful environment, a paradise for the man who was to cultivate it and keep it. "And then the Lord God commanded the man, saying, From any tree of the garden you may eat freely, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil ye shall not eat. For in the day that you eat from it, you will surely die." Genesis 2:16-17. We then have instance of the formation of the living animals and of the helpmate for Adam, woman, whom he called Eve. What a wonderful scene this would have been. The great Garden of Eden, home, full of life. The living green was sustaining, beautiful and tranquil. It was a home of peace and harmony. And it was really a sanctuary. I think as Brother Colin mentioned about the holiness, it was this sanctified place, this Garden of Eden. Adam would have seen perfection, physically, mentally and morally, with a loving bond with his Creator. The tree of life would sustain life. However, the first test of obedience with the earthly creation brought about the fall from this life in paradise. Taking from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil was to break God's command, and this opening Adam and Eve's eyes to a fallen state, with which consequences would be meted out by the Lord God. The serpent was cursed, Adam was punished, there was a cursing of the ground, the woman Eve was also to have punishment, and also was given along with Adam the penalty of the death sentence. Genesis chapter 3, 23 to 25 reads of the expulsion from the garden and the tree of life, which supported and continued the life which had been imparted. And then the Lord God said, "Behold, the man has become like one of us, knowing good and evil. And now he might stretch out his hand and take from the tree of life and eat and live forever." And therefore the Lord God sent him out from the Garden of Eden to cultivate the ground from which he was taken. So he drove the man out, and at the east of the Garden of Eden he stationed a cherubim and a flaming sword which turned every direction to guard the way to the tree of life. And so it was that the first pair were denied access to the tree of life and the fruitage that sustained them. They then had to till the land and work with the sweat of their brow, and the curse on the ground also, which meant the thorns and the thistles shall grow with it. And throughout the families and generations, this understanding of the tree of life would have been remembered and recorded from place to place. The promise that God had given also of the serpent in Genesis 3 and 15, "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed, and he shall bruise you on the head, and you shall bruise him on the heel." This would have endured as a hope of deliverance from this curse and evil. We will have a look at the revelation shortly to see God's great future plan for the tree of life. But if we now would realize that there's symbolism of the tree and that it's used in numerous times in the scriptures. Professor Vines is giving meaning to the tree as known by the fruits it produces. The fruitage is extremely important, as we see from our Lord Jesus' words in Matthew 7, 16 to 20. "And you will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? So every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So then you will know them by your fruits." How our Lord Jesus used this beautiful illustration, even going right back to mentioning the thorns and the thistles as was the curse on the earth. So we have this warning in Jude 12, as we've had a study on it in this convention, of ungodliness, and it in part reads Jude 12, "Caring for themselves, clouds without water, carried along by winds, autumn trees without fruit, doubly dead, uprooted." We see this example here. Every reference to the trees provides pictures of life, life-giving and life-sustaining. And it can represent a period or a season, as we just read, autumn trees without fruit. As we understand, the fruitage is in season. It could also represent a conduct or a moral or a manner. We see the Proverbs refer also to them and give lessons for character. In Proverbs 3 and 11 to 18, "My son, do not reject the discipline of the Lord or loathe his reproof. For whom the Lord loves, he reproves, even as a father corrects the son in whom he delights. How blessed is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. For her profit is better than the profit of silver, and her gain is better than the fine gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire compares with her. Long life is in her right hand, and in her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. And she is a tree of life to those who take hold of her. And happy are all who hold her fast. This is an interesting picture of God's wisdom. It is a tree of life to those who take hold of her. Also in Proverbs 11 and 30, speaking of the just and unjust, it says, "The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who is wise wins souls." And again in Proverbs 13:12, "Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but desire fulfilled is a tree of life." Just thinking of the desire of all nations shall come, and what a wonderful fulfillment of the hopes and aspirations of mankind that will bring. It is a desire fulfilled is a tree of life. This further proverb illustrate the need for living in accordance with the Lord God. Proverbs 15:1-4. "A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. The tongue of the wise makes knowledge acceptable, but the mouth of a fool spouts folly. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, watching the evil and the good. A soothing tongue is a tree of life, but perversion in it crushes the spirit." So we have seen the likening of having wisdom to be righteous, promoting godly desire, and expressing peaceful words. These all are high-level spiritual gifts. If we delve into them, we also have the roots of our own faith drawing deeper, the nutrition available, just as the tree does. God's precious words enable us to grow and grow. Just as the tree does, we are nourished by the life giver. In Psalms 1, 2 and 3, it attests to us, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and in whatever he does he prospers." As we know, vast areas of the earth are covered in forests. I was talking to the gentleman of the centre here, and he was saying how beautiful all the green colour is, and he said green must be God's colour. And I was thinking maybe blue as well, but the earth is surrounded in the sea of blue and the vegetation of green, living green. But these trees, they are performing a wonderful function in producing oxygen through photosynthesis. The leaves are all little factories of good, taking sunlight and converting the air, the carbon dioxide, and water to make their own food. This green kingdom is a way of explaining the wonders of God, and they provide homes for many of the animal kingdom, and man has benefited from the timbers for construction, for example. We notice the trees here, even how tall they are, but there's trees that grow to more than 100 metres tall, some species, and the variety is immense in the earth. The palm tree, it is considered nature's supermarket in tropical countries as it provides food and clothing and building material. Sometimes we feel it would be nice to be so close to nature. If we turn to our supermarket, we don't feel very close to nature. Trees are indeed life givers with its nuts and seeds and fruit, sap and leaves. Now if we turn to Jeremiah chapter 17, 5-8, thus says the Lord, "Cursed is the man who trusts in mankind and makes his flesh his strength, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. For he will be like a bush in the desert, and will not see when prosperity comes, but will live in stony wastes in the wilderness, a land of salt without inhabitant. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, for he will be like a tree planted by the water that extends its roots by the stream, and it will not fear when the heat comes, but its leaves will be green, and it will not be anxious in a year of drought, nor cease to yield fruit." What a beautiful picture this scripture is. And here is a lesson of trust. If we trust God and have confidence in his words, We can be rooted and grounded in the difficult times. We learn from the tree that its roots have an important job to grow down and find the water and the minerals to feed all parts of the plant. Another important function is to act like an anchor for strength and position. The scriptures also use trees to picture nations and kingdoms, as in Luke 21, 29 to 31. And then he told a parable. Behold, the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they put forth leaves, you will see and know for yourselves that summer is now near. So you also, when you see these things happening, recognize that the kingdom of God is near. Another passage to support this is found in Daniel chapter 4 and 20 to 22, where Daniel interprets King Nebuchadnezzar's dream, and it reads, "The tree that you saw, which became large and grew strong, and whose height reached the sky, and was visible to all the earth, and whose foliage was beautiful and its fruit abundant, and in which was food for all, under which the beasts of the field dwelt, and whose branches the birds of the sky lodged, it is you, O King, for you have become great and grown strong, and your majesty has become great and reached to the sky, and your dominion to the ends of the earth." And in Romans, we are also given an illustration of grafting into the olive tree. I think Brother Graham mentioned this. And this is chapter 11 and 16 onwards. And it's the mystery of the Gentiles. And the Gentiles, how they're coming into this high calling in Christ and partaking of the rich root of the olive tree. And this was an illustration that the Jews and the Gentiles could understand in pruning out or grafting in process. It was something that was a part of their life. What is marvellous is that God is in control and he is this husbandman. And the olives were grown very commonly, nearly every household, just as were grapes and figs. And Jesus also spoke of that fig tree that withered. In Matthew 21:19, seeing a lone fig tree by the road, he came to it and he found nothing on it except leaves. Leaves only. And he said to it, "No longer shall there ever be any fruit from you." And at that once the tree withered. Again, this lesson was that of the nation of Israel and had its opportunity directly to them. And however, we understand, just a faithful remnant accepted the call and bore fruit, and to which the message went to the Gentiles. Now that we have seen these various references to the tree of life and to its meaning of life-giving or life-sustaining, we can move to that passage in Revelation. We notice that it's wisdom, the righteousness or uprightness, godly desire, peaceable conduct, and trust are likened to the tree of life. We have also the references to the nations and the kings and symbolism of favour and disfavour depending on this fruitage. The tree of life is beautifully described in this highly symbolic book of Revelation, and we have a promise to the church in Ephesus in Revelation 2:7. "And he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will grant to eat of the tree of life which is in the paradise of God." This has to be faithful followers, those that have been tested and proved, and those that will attain to the resurrection of life, or resurrection to life, a life which will be contained in a heavenly body and of holy service in blessing all the families of the earth through the new or Christ's kingdom on earth. In a way, the glorified church will be in a position of accessing the divine providence, immortality, being given a reward. It is a picture of God's glorified union with his new creation, and with it will be something in which he previously had with his perfect Eden, earthly creation, but return now as a spiritual family, a Christ and his bride, and they will share in the spiritual tree of life, serving God eternally. The final passage we would like to consider is Revelation 22:1-4. "And then he showed me a river of the water of life, clear as crystal, coming from the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the middle of its street, on either side of the river, was the tree of life, bearing 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit every month, and the leaves of the trees were for the healing of the nations. There will no longer be any curse, and the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his bondservant will serve him, and they will see his face, and his name will be in their foreheads. Here is a marvellous vision. It's a symbolic passage of God's blessings flowing to all of mankind. The nations or the peoples will be healed. The tree of life, symbolic of the ready available sustenance and godly blessings, as the tree is seen as accessible and free to all. Now blessings will be meted out to all the willing and obedient, for the curse will be no more. The healing of mankind will be through the sustaining and refreshing of the Lord. The great standing up again after this humbling time of trouble and the effect of some 6,000 years of sin and death. The curse will be removed with its effects, and its effects will pass away gradually as the tree of life provides each and every need in sustaining life in that world that is to come. And I'd like to close with the promise of Revelation 22 and verse 14. It reads, "Blessed are those who wash their robes so that they might have the right to the tree of life and may enter the gates into the city." Amen.